Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody, and what a Thursday. The greatest day in Houston sports history, and it lived up to it. I mean, nonstop hijinks and hilarity in the afternoon with the Astros just hitting the ballpark, the ball all over the park, two hits. And then the Rockets with all that energy and just a tight back and forth, just not rock and sock'em game against the Lakers.
Just competitive nature just all over the court.
Just, oh my God, it was dripping. The competitive nature.
Like a Peter North of competitive nature.
Peter North reference.
Stop competitive
36
nature.
Seconds in, Dell.
Non-stop. It was just like, make it stop. Make all this competitiveness
mommy,
stop.
Mommy, who is Peter North?
This guy likes to get at us.
If your mommy knows who Peter North is, your mama's a freak.
Well, maybe she just watched a couple films.
Make her
maybe daddy made her watch it.
Yeah, to get things going.
Yeah.
To know
maybe
the
that's how that kid was created.
Watch yeah.
Peter North.
Here's how Peter does it.
Yeah.
36 seconds in, Peter North. And then, man, the Texans just looking good. Up and down the field, the new offense with all the weapons, Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. I mean, you want to talk about taking DeAndre Hopkins' place. They just showed up. It was, man, that offense was high-powered. I think after the first series, the Texans didn't score. Bill O'Brien said, I'm calling the plays from now on. That's it.
So he didn't call plays, but I think Bill O'Brien knows what needs to happen now to get this thing turned around. He needs to call plays.
He needs to call
plays. Right? Because if he calls plays, things can turn around.
Well,
forget
right.
Tim Kelly having a, you know, more than a game with a brand new.
Well.
There's a lot to get to. I'm going to be curious. Now, don't you holdouts with Texans? Rockets and Texans and Astros, if you want, although Astros fans have really melted off the show. But Rockets and Astros fans, we will. This is a day where you fire off. Like, this is a day. In all the years we've done Sports Talk Radio, this is a sound-off day. John and I have lots of opinions, but if you've got an opinion and you're on the west side now and you're listening to 92.5, where we've got a super sweet signal, or if you're here on the, if you're more on the east side and you're listening to 97.5, or if you're listening from out of town on your app, all you have to do is give us a shout at 713-780-3776. We're going to get you in to let you sound off. There's a call already coming in. 713-780-3776. I can tell you that yesterday was, and you know what? I felt like this is normal. During the Rockets, it was disappointing. I was frustrated, but I couldn't get mad because I'm like, this is just kind of.
This is what it is.
I'm just used to seeing this at some point. And unfortunately, it's from the star because the double team has made James want to quit basketball. The double team has now made James Harden want to quit basketball. His lazy.
Yeah, but he wants to get his $200 million, though.
Well,
I mean,
that's why
and
he
he's
does
not
it.
Quitting.
But the lazy, lackadaisical passing out of double teams where everyone knows that that little pocket pass is coming and they kick it or steal it. Oh, that was awful. And then turning on the Texans. I tell you what, Tytus Howard, ooh, that was bad. 71, that was bad yesterday.
Zach Fulton, that was bad.
Now run blocking, they were decent. Pass protection, Fulton and Howard, but I know Fulton's not good as a pass protector. I already know that he shouldn't frankly shouldn't be starting this year. But they didn't do anything about finding somebody who could start ahead of him. So he was a default starter, and they extended him because that's what you do, is you extend players that you should be able to replace with cheaper, younger players.
Right.
You extend them. That's a Texans way. I get it. That's Texans way. But the right tackle, Tytus Howard, I was expecting more from Tytus Howard. I was all hyped up about Tytus Howard. He looks too big and too slow. That's not who he's supposed to be. But that's just,
I'm
thinking
think
at one
he's just
thing.
Coming off the injury in his first game, hopefully.
I think he's carrying too much weight. I know what his lean mass numbers are. His lean mass numbers are like in the low 240s. So that tells me what he should be carrying, what his frame can carry before it turns into kind of bad weight. So it's really in the lower, honestly, it's in the lower 300s. I mean, it's like 309, 308. And I think he's carrying a lot more than that. But that's a little bit of the minutia I'm putting you in. But I was not happy with him. But the big problem, John, is going to be the departure of DJ Reader. Holy cow, is this could end up being a big problem. Now, we probably looked at the Rookie of the Year and Clyde Edwards-Helaire yesterday.
I think if I had a vote right now, yeah, I would vote for him.
Look, how many carries did he get, 25?
Dell, if you had a vote right now, who would you vote for Rookie of the Year?
Yes, if I had to make my decision based off the one
offensive
game that was played,
Rookie of the Year.
Right.
I would give the defense Rookie of the Year to their rookie cornerback.
Yeah,
he was. Oh man, Legarius Sneed. Yeah. You know, he was a safety last year.
Really?
At La Tech, but he was a junior the year before. Zoe loved him. Alonzo loved him. I remember talking to the Senior Bowl. Zoe was like, "Lance, look at this kid, Legarius Sneed, from Louisiana Tech. Look at him at cornerback." And I looked at him at safety. I had to go back to the year before where he played corner. Dude, I thought the Texans would cook him. I really did. I thought Legarius Sneed didn't even play corner last year.
Did you see Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb cooking people?
I honestly,
Randall Cobb cannot get a one-on-one ball. See, it is night and day because dude is so small that he cannot win a one-on-one. He can't. He's got to be open. He has got to be open. Otherwise, Deshaun can't get him the ball. It's the exact opposite of DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, the contested catch.
Yes.
So that's the biggest thing I look for is contested catch. Because if you can win a contested catch, then you have a chance to play in the league.
Yeah.
Then you look at the other things. If you can't win a contested catch, then you have to be fast or really quick to separate. Randall Cobb is 0-for-3 in those categories.
Well, they had 6 DBs on the field most of the time, and they still tackled well. The Texans ran the ball well. They ran it really well.
David Johnson looked pretty good.
Yeah, David Johnson looked good. They only ran it 18 times.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
I mean, what? Why wouldn't you run the ball more?
I'll show you a text string. After the Texans scored, somebody reached out to me about, what do you like? He said, Mike, my nephew is, based on the amount of money I'm about to bet on this Texans-Chiefs game, my nephew's either going to go to UTA or to Harvard. And I said, he goes, and I'm taking the Texans up at UTA. After the first score, he wrote LDK, Lance don't know.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, I tell you what, I said, I'm just going to put this GIF right here and let me just marinate on the next few series and then we'll see if you're saying the same thing. Mm. And I just had this girl doing her hair back and drinking some tea or coffee or whatever it was. And I swear to God, they were losing 7-0 when I put that out because I knew what was. I mean, come on. We've seen this enough. Let's get Gary in here. He wants to talk about at the Texans and the Rockets. What's up, Gary? How you
What's
doing?
What's up, Gary?
Hey, how's it going? All right, a couple things, man. So, number one, who would have thought trading away one of, if not the best receiver in the league, was a problem and replacing him with basically Jag? And I don't want this to be a hot take, but Deshaun Watson is a very good quarterback. I don't believe that he's a great quarterback yet. He makes great plays. But the whole thing with comparing him to Mahomes, and I am a big-time Deshaun guy, but we need to stop doing that. Like, granted, I get the offense. It's probably not great. But we've been just shellacked in 2 playoff games, and then we go into Kansas City and get shellacked again. And, you know, he just has more room to grow. I'll say that. And Rockets, It's over. I've seen enough of it. I've seen enough Harden. I don't care if you trade them for some picks and we're not good again. What's the difference? We're not going to win the championship anyway. Just an overall terrible sports day in Houston. The Astros look like they suck. So a bit frustrated this morning, but that's what I got. Thanks, guys.
Seems like you're a little negative.
Okay. I swear to God, Gary could do the show for me because he has all my opinions. Like, he could just come in here and do the show today for me because he has all my opinions. Deshaun makes great plays. He's not a great quarterback. I didn't think he was headed into yesterday's game either. I mean, he needs to show he can be a great quarterback. Here's the thing. He's being paid great quarterback rates now.
Well,
not officially.
Not yet.
Not yet.
But yeah. It'll get better. It'll get better than it was last night. That's just listen, you're playing the best team in the league. You're not going to look great. But here's the deal is all three of these teams, the Astros didn't win a game against a team with a winning record until how long into the season? Mm-hmm. The Rockets now, when you're up against the best in the Lakers, you're showing your true colors. You can beat the Oklahoma Cities. You can beat the Utahs and the blobbly blahs. But when you get up against the best, guess what happens? What happened last night, which was horrendous. And then the Texans, they're a middle-of-the-pack team, probably make the playoffs again, get a first, maybe win the first-round game, maybe not, but they're not an upper echelon. We have no upper echelon teams. We're above average. We're in Bill O'Brien, James Harden purgatory. That's where we are. That's where we are. Mm. Bill O'Brien and James Harden purgatory. On the Astros, who would be?
It's hard to say. This is such a weird year with everyone out and hurt. Yeah. It's just, I can't, but I can tell you this. Did Bill O'Brien give Dusty Baker the extension?
I don't know.
Like, that's a Bill O'Brien extension. Like, give Dusty another year. Well, why are we doing that?
Well, it was three games into the season.
I know. Oh, two games in, I think.
Was that? Yeah, the fight game. Right after the fight game, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that one to me, like, that didn't make any sense to give Dusty Baker an extension. You don't have to. He's like 70-something.
Yeah.
Let's just see how it plays out.
Yeah. Oh, well, the players want... What? The players are like, he's 900 years old. Hey, players start looking, not going to look at him any different because he's got another year. Not a bit. And he's not very good. He's not very good with the staff. That reputation preceded him, and it's holding true. Let's get Brian in here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, Lance, real quick, I haven't seen anything from the disciplinary committee on the fight that happened, the basketball fight that happened in your driveway. Do we know when that's going to come out?
Yeah, there was just an internal talking to. No action was taken. There is a rematch for the driveway basketball game that's going to take place, but there was no discipline that was doled out, that was kept in-house. And so, it was just an in-house disciplinary issue, and everything is fine, and they'll be back out there as combatants. I mean, to challenge each other again.
Mm.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Real quick, just kind of going off of what Gary said, the Astros, I don't even so much, like, almost give them a pass with all the injuries. I mean, when you're running basically me out there every night from the bullpen, things like that are going to happen where you just have no competitiveness. I mean, you're going to be forced to score 10 runs basically a game, and when you don't, you're not going to be very good. But the Rockets, I'm done with them. No one on that team has that, you know, never say lose type attitude. Maybe they do in the regular season, but I don't see it in the playoffs, and that's when you need it. The one guy who I think actually did kind of have that kick you in the ass type atmosphere was the guy they traded in the offseason, Chris Paul. I think he actually had that now because he couldn't get along with James. That's why he's gone, because, you know, James was the alpha here. But until they find someone like that, I think you're going to keep getting the same type results year in and year out. Good in the regular season, fizzle out, underperform in the playoffs. And then the Texans, you know, I mean, it's a Bill O'Brien-led team. Well, you know, what were we expecting them to come out and do? And I honestly think, looking at the first four games, it would not shock me if we go 0-4. I mean, it's not going to be easy, you know, next week. And then you get Pittsburgh. And then what? I think it's Minnesota?
Yeah.
You could conceivably wind up 0-4. And this thing could already be over before it starts, before you get to October.
And then your sixth game is at the Titans. So,
this game literally went exactly how I thought it would be. And I thought they would be 1-3 after the first four. So this feels like it's on pace.
But you have some hope that maybe it's not.
Yeah, but that you played Kansas City. I mean,
No.
You played Kansas City. My problem, I don't care about the overall. I need to know, where's your weakness going to be each week? And what I see is 92, Brandon Dunn, that is not going to cut it against a decent rushing attack. There's not enough. They were sliding. They were playing an even front, which means a four-man defensive line. And they were playing, at first you had J.J. Watt inside, and then they moved to Charles Omenihu inside. So they're using them as three techniques.
Look at this. Jason Braddock tweeted this out. Look at that.
Look at the lanes.
I mean, look at the lanes and every single guy. Look how back they're pushed. The Texans are pushed off the football.
Reestablishing the line.
And it's one-on-one, and it's all one-on-one. Not one guy is winning a battle.
Reestablishing the line. Yeah, and they don't have battle winners other than 99 can win some with quickness.
Where was 99?
Where was 99
against the Chiefs is non-existent.
99, 59, 18. I didn't know if these guys were playing.
Yeah.
Honestly.
13, he was – where was he? Brandon Carson actually played, and he caught two footballs. I was like, wow, that's more than I thought he did. That was awesome. That was awesome. Congratulations, Brandon. 714 ESPN 97.5. Well, you had a chance to bet on it. How about that the number hit on the under-over? It hit right on it, 54. So that was...
How about it went down to like 52.5 because of the rain? You could actually been on my bookie
playing it. If you caught it late.
And you could have said, you know what? They're pushing a number down. I still like these two teams to
score. We told you bet the over, and if that happened, we told you to bet the Texans, and look how wonderful that was. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and you can play, and you can win, and you can get paid. That's the key to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. They will match your initial deposit, put in 100. They'll match 100. Put in 1,000, they'll match 1,000. Put in 200 million, and they'll match 1,000. All you got to do, well, they might match 200 million. I don't know. I don't know what their limit is. All I know is if you play, you win, you get paid. And that's the most important thing about bookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, we just, first half, we had trouble stopping a run, and the time of possession was not good, which involves the offense too. But we got to play the run better, obviously. And then we came out in the second half, and they scored on that first drive, and that was tough because we needed a stop there to do it. But to get the ball back to the offense, I thought the guys fought. You know, they at the end we were able to score a couple touchdowns there at the end, but it was too little, too late. So there's some things to build on, but we got a long way to go here, obviously, and we got to get going, and we have to improve very quickly.
Yep, all those things. The thing is, you want them to, at least if it would have been competitive, at least if they would have shown some flashes offensively, at least if they would have, you know, they were going to lose. They were going to lose the game. You knew that. But it's the way that you lose, and you say, are they really somebody that, again, we're going to watch a team all year long that's just not good enough. The Rockets are just not good. The Rockets got out-rebounded 52-26. The Rockets had one offensive rebound. One. One offensive rebound the whole night. The Lakers had 88 shots. The Houston Rockets, that puts up 53 pointers a game, had a total of 65 shots to 88. Small ball really working there. Looking good. That small ball. Yeah, we don't have to worry about any of those. You know that rebounding thing? You know that whole thing when you miss and you get a rebound and maybe...
You know, here's the problem.
Maybe start a fast break or maybe get a putback.
Here's the problem.
Don't have to worry about that.
Small ball's meant to make the other side uncomfortable and from a matchup standpoint. Mm. Well, what happens when the other side takes out JaVale McGee and puts in Morris and they actually go small with you? Smaller width.
And they're better at it.
Then there's
much better at it.
And they can still outboard you.
They took 33s. The Rockets took 33.
It's the port. But this is all. We already talked about this a long time ago. Portland in the regular season showed in the restart. Remember when Portland started throwing those doubles at James and it was a blowout after? And we're like, oh my God. Please don't let anyone see what Portland did, or it'll be a nightmare. And then the Lakers now, when it's a high screen and roll, the Lakers don't even worry about the roll guy. It's a flat-out double team. You are doing James a disservice to come over with your high screen and roll because it's a free invitation to a double team. And he is turning it over. He's not making good decisions with the ball. Doubling James has really turned into a nightmare for the Houston Rockets.
Because he just
Because they don't have anyone else.
He just stands there.
Yeah, and once the Lakers decided we're going to run guys off the three-point line, you know what? You can run past those guys, make them leave the three-point line. So how do they now? How are the Rockets going to win once they're driving to the basket? They can't.
They can't. They got 30. They put. This is a team that tries to make 30 threes a game. They put up 30. Are you kidding me? 33 shots. 14. Again, Charlie's been pointing this out. They didn't lose a game where they shot 40% from three all season long. This is their third straight loss over 40% shooting threes because they only put up 33. This is not Rocket. This you're getting destroyed at your own game. McGee doesn't play. Dwight doesn't play. They start Morris. Markieff Morris is a pain in the ass. Kuzma's coming off the bench. Rondo. Caruso is destroying you. Destroying Caruso. That little dude is destroying you in all your hopes and dreams. It's embarrassing.
Caruso embarrassed them.
That's what I said.
I mean, you're right. He embarrassed them. By the end of the game, Caruso's like, he's making play after play.
What about that last shot?
I'm sorry.
To put it away. Rockets got to within five?
Do you understand the Rockets had a cover at one point?
Yeah.
That would have been the most miraculous cover in basketball.
They did at five. And then Caruso, dagger game.
Dagger three, dagger steal.
Game. Henry is here. What's up, Henry?
Good morning. Man, James Harden played a great game. What are you guys talking about, man? He has the heart of a champion. I mean, that's Kobe Bryant, you know, reincarnated. Come on now. You know, that's what we're missing right there. I love James, but he don't have that killer instinct in him. But, you know, we know that. So let's talk about our Houston Texans. Man, what a great game we played. I mean, the moves Bill O'Brien made in the off seasons were miraculous. Getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins was just the best move ever. Not re-signing DJ Reader. Oh my God, we made some killer moves. Said no one. I mean, this is what we're going to go through. This is what we're going to go through.
This is the team.
I mean, this was just an awful showing. He got out-coached again. Instead of getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, we should have made some moves on defense. I mean, guys, let them have it. Light it up. Don't take it easy. They need to hear it. We're too soft on this team. We're too soft on the Texans. The caller that said that Deshaun Watson is not compared to Mahomes, dude, go sit down. Yes, he is. Deshaun ain't the problem. The problem is the coaching. Andy Reid has designed an offense around Mahomes that makes him look great. We need a coach to do the same thing for Deshaun Watson because that guy lights out hands down. We just need a better coach. That's all I got to say. You guys rip him up. Don't let up today.
Right.
Yeah, I would say they can be mutually exclusive. A better GM. I don't think Deshaun is the problem, but I don't think Deshaun is Pat Mahomes. I mean, let's be real. Pat Mahomes is special.
MVP.
Game in, game out.
Super Bowl MVP. Won a title.
He doesn't put together many bad games.
He does have better weapons.
Oh, there's no question about that. No. There's no question about that. But the Texans actually added more weapons now. So they're even more dangerous that they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins because they've got Randall Cobb now. And they got Brandon Cooks. And you could see how dangerous they were yesterday all over the field. Kenny Stills. I mean, it's almost like a wealth of riches for Deshaun now.
Right.
Look how many
open running down the field.
Oh,
I told
man.
You the game plan. I told you about
just
this.
Yeah, so much
how much better
talent.
The offense. Now, I will say this. They're second in the league in offense right now.
they got that going. You know that if it wasn't for those late Texan-y touchdowns, you know, the last 6 minutes, I mean, this is another brutal ass-kicking. As it stands, like, hey, they only lost by 14, two touchdowns.
I think the number was at one point when it was 31-7, it was 82-14 they had been outscored by Kansas City.
82-14, back to last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, for the 51-7.
That's not great.
In 31, yeah, 82-14.
That's
pretty,
kids would call problematic.
Kansas City went on an 82-14 run against the Texans. Wow. David wants to talk about his all his teams. What's up, David?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, go ahead.
I think that you need to leave the Astros off of this
three-team thing. You lose Verlander. You lose some of your best hitters. There's no way they can recover with eight rookies. That's not even fair to put them on that, you know. But Watson is not as good as Mahomes, period. I saw him make plays when he was under pressure, and he couldn't put the touch to get to the running back. I don't think he – I think he is good, but he is not at the level of Mahomes. Mm. And I'm done with Harden. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. What else does it take for people to – I check Twitter with some of the biggest homers that Twitter has to offer to see if they would say anything different. That's now Harden's fourth 2-for-11 game. Dale, you said – I only remember three. That's his fourth 2-for-11 in the playoffs?
Yeah, someone tweeted it. I put it on the rundown.
Well, we can look through. That's easy.
I'll find
two
it.
Why is that a magic number for him? 2-for-11.
Let's see. I want to make sure I was right, but I did. Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. I just saw four lines, but it's three. Game four against the Lakers this year, obviously. Game six against the Spurs in 2017. And game five versus the Warriors.
That's what it is. In playoffs, yeah. That's where I saw the 2-for-11s. So that's his playoff. Those are playoffs. And it's playoffs. And by the way, two of those were elimination games. But that yesterday was not an elimination game. Do you
kind
need
of,
to see?
Really, it kind of was.
It kind of was,
and
yeah.
The Spurs one, I think, was he gave the wrong year. The Spurs game was 2016, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the Kawhi game, the non Kawhi game.
Yeah.
Right. The 2-for-11 wouldn't. James brought the energy, though, yesterday. Yes. He really did.
I mean,
you could see the fire. You could see. I mean, it was like it was coming out of it. You're right. Kobe, Michael, that kind of intensity. That kind of drive, that kind of put the team on his back, though. I mean, that was James last night. I don't know why people would be upset with him in any way, shape, or form. I'll tell you what, Lance, you haven't even commented on how nice my hair looks.
Yeah. I was just going to let that ride for a second.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't want to create any, you know, tension in the room this early in the show.
Well, and me and Fred, same thing, right? You saw, you can see Fred on Twitch. You can see the hair. He's got the ponytail working. You can't work a ponytail if you don't have any hair. Am I right or am I right? So Fred's got that working. I got mine. I got mine working. I'm telling you. And it's all, I can't tell you how many people say, wow, that is a huge, huge difference. I was a mangy dog. I had a bunch of spots, a bunch of bald spots, and Doc filled them in. And it was so easy. And it took a few hours. I think it was 4 hours I was in the chair. Fred was a lot longer. He had a lot more to do. But if you're going to have a ponytail, you got a lot more to do. But it's easy. And I'm telling you, if you want to get the results, it can't be better. So go to 975hair.com. And you'll love Doc Linville and you'll love his assistants. You'll love everything about it. 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, did you see DeAndre? KJ just retweeted DeAndre Hopkins' tweet last night?
Yeah, grateful.
He just said grateful.
I'm not sure where DeAndre stands. Jerry Bowe, who does Moneyline, if you guys are into fantasy football and odds, they'll talk about that on Sunday. Big show for them since football's back. He tweeted out, DeAndre's got to make a decision because he'll tweet and be kind of clear about his issues with the Texans and come out when asked about it. No, I love my time there. It was great. And then when he's not having to answer questions, throw some shade.
He did throw shade. It was Throw Shade Thursday.
It was for him, certainly.
That's all he said was grateful. And that's all. Well, he's grateful.
What's he grateful about?
Oh, well, he's grateful for $54 million extension.
Is he grateful that he doesn't have to play?
He's grateful he doesn't have to play for Bill O'Brien. Yes, yes, he's grateful. I'd be grateful, too, if I was DeAndre Hopkins. All that money in Arizona with all those people.
What do you mean, people? just people?
There's a lot of people in Arizona.
It's not. There's more people in Texas than there is in Arizona.
No, I know, but there's a different concentration of people.
Ah.
Yeah.
You leave Cliff's people alone.
No.
As Cliff gets
there's enough for Cliff to
dibs.
Share. There's enough for Cliff to share in Arizona.
You want get the ball? Let Cliff get his way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, don't worry. Oh, Cliff, don't worry. Cliff will gladly step aside for DeAndre. Give DeAndre some of that. Let's get Longhorn Scott in here. What's up, Longhorn Scott?
Hey, guys. Good morning, man. I tell you what, I'm glad it's football season. Aside from that, we'll get to the more important sport here in a second, or the more important version of it in a second. But for anyone to make some proclamation that Deshaun Watson is not a special player based on his performance under a Bill O'Brien-led team is foolhardy. The fact of the matter is, I've said this for years, and this is not exactly some, you know, ingenious awakening kind of a remark, but as long as Bill O'Brien is the head coach of the Texans, they're going to let you down. And what does that mean? It might mean they, you know, get into the division round and blow a 21-point lead, 24-point, whatever it was. It might mean they come out and look like garbage like they did last night. But Deshaun Watson is a fantastic athlete. He's a hell of a quarterback. And, you know, Bill O'Brien's going to Bill O'Brien. And when you empower someone like Bill O'Brien the way Cal McNair has, get ready, Texans fans. And I'm not even a fan of the Texans. I watch it because it's football. Obviously, I live in Houston, and it's good to know what's going on with the local teams. But that's all I got on that. I mean, Bill O'Brien is ridiculously awful as a coach. He may be a nice person. I don't know that, but I would assume that he might be. He sucks as a coach and a GM. Now, college football. Anyone else getting excited about tomorrow? I mean, am I the only one? I know we're all kind of wiping our tears away after last night's 0-3 Houston sports performance, but what about college football? Johnny, I know you like – what's your deal? You going to Baton Rouge this year for any games?
No, we're not going to any games this year.
Why not, man?
We got offered my sister-in-law's got season tickets, and she asked you, should I get them? And we said, nah.
You had to make your decision for the season, yeah.
But here's the deal. They said no tailgating. No, you can't tailgate. You can go to the game. You can sit there, watch, and then go, and then you and with 19,000 fans or whatever it's going to be, and then leave. Nah, that's not the college experience. You got to get wasted in the parking lot with all the sororities. It is the biggest party in Baton Rouge before the game. Is the biggest party you'll ever be to. And without all that, it's just I can watch a TV. Why would I do all that and for that?
Well, let me tell you what we're going to do in Austin. First of all, we renewed our season tickets. Damn right we did. And you know what? In the midst of this year, I'll be damned if I'm not going to at least get to watch my Horns in person. And so to the issue of tailgating, Schultz Beer Garden, you know, they're open. And I reserved we reserved a table. I intend to sit down in Schultz Beer Garden, which is, by the way, that's what I do every week, every year. Used to be do the big tailgate, but then I got too old for that nonsense.
Well, you're irresponsible then. It's going to be packed in there with all kinds of people with COVID, and you're going to be all the droplets from your beer splattering all over.
What
people.
What if he has nanosilver technology?
Well,
for
now that if, are you going to keep your nanosilver technology on? Okay, then I'm fine with it.
I hope y'all are getting paid per use.
Yeah, we are. Boomer Naturals pays
Boomer?
Us. Yes.
I'll tell you what. If there's anyone that doesn't know what Boomer Naturals is and Nano Silver is, they're just not listening because y'all are
fine. We are your station for Boomer Naturals Nano Silver
Technology.
We're
doing a hell of a job branding.
Yes, we are.
It's a good mask, though. It really is.
It is.
Hey, John, last question, and then I'm going to hang up. What does it say about a place where you have to get completely inebriated to tolerate the environment like Baton Rouge? That's all I got. Y'all have a good weekend.
Oh, you know where I ain't going on vacation? Baton Rouge. Yeah. And you know where else I ain't going? Austin. Okay? Longhorn Scott, you can have Austin. Keep Austin weird. Keep Austin with the poop all over the streets. Congratulations, Austin. Congratulations on your tent city. Yeah. No thanks. And, you know, I ain't going there. I ain't going to Baton Rouge, and I ain't going to Austin either. I'm going to stay right here in Houston where we got our sports teams rock. Who's next? Daniel. What's up, Daniel?
Yeah, hey, so I'm kind of an Astros optimist. And now this season's gone to crap, but what I feel like what I've seen is that the Astros pitching rotation, the Astros pitching problems aren't as bad as, you know, it was originally thought. These rookies have really stepped up, and to follow up on that, why is Ryan Presley still closing out games? Why do we not have a Nolly Parada, whatever his name is, a Nolly's Cannolis closing games as well as he's been pitching in the eighth and the seventh when he goes in? So I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
I don't think he – well, Ryan Presley has a track record. If you watched Astros baseball last year, you know, you trusted that dude. I got a feeling he just thinks, well, that's my best guy. He's not. I mean, he's proving it over and over and over again. But, I mean, putting a ball in a young guy's hand for making his first major league appearances ever and saying, go get it. Go close it. Make sure you get the close for us. Don't give up a run because it's all we put up is two hits a game. Make sure you don't give up a run. You know, I think you trust a veteran more. No, he's not any good. Nobody's any good. Our teams all suck. Nobody's any good. We have no good players anymore. The greatest player, the people say the greatest player in Rockets history. There are people that say that on this station was 2-for-11 in a game four.
The greatest player in Rockets history is not. It's so disrespectful.
It is.
You know, and here's the thing. While James Harden, the statistics may be true that James Harden is a better scorer, is a better pure scorer than Michael Jordan statistically.
Yeah.
It's such a wipeout argument now the ability to step up and continue to score and make play. Like, I just don't even want, to hear that. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? I've said it before, it's probably true. But ultimately, who cares when these things happen?
The Rockets care.
Yeah, I get they care. I get he's a good player. But don't put his name with Jordan. Don't put his name with Dream. Don't do that. This is more like Dominique, right? Neek could score.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put him in Neek's category either. Neek was a human highlight. That's not.
Yeah, but so is James, just without as many dunks.
This
guy is a leading scorer.
He's not the league in scoring. He's a dribble, dude.
Yeah, but there are compilations of people on YouTube. He's got his full in compilation. James just does it a different way, but what he does with the ball and creating separation off the dribble is pretty spectacular.
But Dominique was one of the most electric, exciting players in the game.
Right,
opposite of James.
I'm not comparing. No, that's not true. You can't lead the league in scoring 3 years and be boring. I mean, to you,
he bores me.
Realistically, James Harden, I mean, Neek is explosive as a dunker. I'm not saying their styles are the same, but I'm saying what they are, scorers who don't really defend that much, they're not really two-way players, and they don't really have a great impact on the game. This is so many years of playoffs now. The excuse-making is so tired.
I know we're not speaking directly to Rockets Twitter, but maybe you're listening. I'm going to need all of you to realize that yes, James is a prolific scorer, and I know you love him, but can you take Dwayne Wade's name out of your mouth, please? Stop comparing him to Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade's a winner.
Dwayne Wade wouldn't go 2-for-11 in a game four when they needed the most. Stop it.
Dwayne wants the smoke.
Yeah, stop it. James is a great individual player, but he's not one of the best players of all time.
James just doesn't want the smoke in the big situations. Like, you see how easy it is for him to give a ball up late in the game. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm just done with it. I just am done with that low energy stuff that I saw yesterday. Had me so disappointed. Just so disappointed. 2-for-11, had to get to the free throw line 20 times to get to 21 points. I mean,
and there were cheap fouls late in the game.
I don't even know how he got his last two free throws.
I mean, the random bad fouls because Anthony Davis is frustrated because he didn't get a call, so when James gets a rebound,
three of those 21 points came in the last minute of the game, or last minute 13.
He would have scored under 20 in a must-win, going 2-for-11.
7:42, ESPN 97.5. It's time to drink. You know what? Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Coors Light is the official beer of watching games. And you know what? There were plenty flowing last night, I can tell you that. Oh, there were plenty flowing. It's the official. Oh, It's the official beer of hole-in-ones. I got my first ever hole-in-one yesterday, and I was a good... I had a few Coors Lights, and if it wasn't for Coors Lights, I wouldn't have had that swing. It was on 16, as a matter of fact. So thank you, Coors Light, because you made history yesterday for me, my first ever hole-in-one. And it was in large part because of Coors Light. If you want hole-in-ones while you're playing, if you want everything, listen, it wasn't nearly as bad, all the losses yesterday. You know why? Because of Coors Light. It was like, whatevs. You guys suck. Whatevs. I got my Coors Light right here. It's the official beer of whatever. You guys suck. All our teams suck. But here's the deal. If you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, the world's most refreshing beer, Texas Chill, baby. Pick up 12 ounces of chill. Pick up 16 ounces of chill. Pick up a 12-pack. 144 ounces of chill, baby. It's Texas Chill, Coors Light.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't have an explanation for you, but, I mean, should have been some sense of urgency on everybody's part. But we fought, which is good, and we know what we have to do. It's going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take everyone being uncomfortable in their role and making sure that we understand we all have to sacrifice, you know, some of the things we may love to do. But we got to scramble. That's the best. That gives us the best chance to win games.
There's Russ. Yeah, they got to scramble. Down 3-1. Got a lot of hope for this one. This team looks like it can come back from 3-1.
Let me tell
Lakers
you what he
team.
Was saying. He was calling somebody out for a lack of urgency. I mean, that's what his comments were. His comments were what? I mean, you can never accuse Russ of a lack of urgency. You can just accuse him of a lack of common sense, basketball IQ, taking care of the basketball, shooting. You can accuse him of a lack of all that stuff. What you can't accuse him of is a lack of hustle, try hard. He's going to give you everything he has. It's just unbridled. There's no regulator.
No.
He's going to cut it loose, but is this going to be the second superstar? Really, you could say third with Dwight, but Dwight's kind of a goof. But is this going to be, are we going to have a little issue in the offseason now where Rockets get eliminated next game and James says, I know what needs to happen. James, what needs to happen to get over the hump?
Well,
I know
first,
what needs to happen.
You had to get rid of Kevin McHale. You had to get rid of Dwight. You had to get rid of Chris Paul. I'm sure Russ has got, are you kidding? Of course Russ will have a target on him at some point. At some point. It's somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. And look, I've heard from people in the D'Antoni is scared. He just, whatever James wants, James gets, because that otherwise you don't keep your job here. He needs a Billy Donovan. He needs somebody who's going to come in here and make him run off of screens. Make him move without the ball. Make him.
Who's that?
Whoever. You know what? If you're going to be a coach here, I'm going down with the ship. You know who's going down with the ship? Mike D'Antoni. He's going down.
Maybe we're wrong. Maybe James will do all that stuff. But you can't just sit out there 20. Kevin O'Connor really brought it to light when we had him on. You can't, when they're doubling, you can't just give the ball up. First of all, make better passes. Get rid of it quicker. Get rid of the double quicker so people are in no man's land. But you can't just dump it off and then sit there 27 feet, 28 feet from the basket. Like you don't, 30 feet from the basket, actually, and do nothing, where you turn it into a 4-on-4 matchup. You can't do that. Pass and cut to the basket because the double team is then in trouble, or pass and cut away. We used to always have it, you know, pass and cut away, or pass and pick away, whatever, but make people, get them moving, and that's on Mike D'Antoni. And if Mike D'Antoni doesn't have the juice to make James do that stuff, then Tillman Fertitta is really seriously going to have to step in here and say, look, James, either we're going to do this or we have to move you. And I'm telling you, the only way that you, the only way to change your fortunes, you talk about James Purgatory, the only way you can change your fortunes with Russ on the hook for his dollars, Eric Gordon and James Harden, there is only one way, and that's to move James Harden. No one's going to take Russ off your hands and give you anything in return. And everyone makes the argument, and I get it, well, you're not going to be any better. They make the argument, you're going to be the Knicks. You're going to be the 76ers. When has Daryl Morey ever let that happen? Daryl Morey finds guys that can play. You can say what you want. He found Kyle Lowry when he flipped him for for Alston. He had Goran Dragic that he brought in. I mean, the playoffs are actually littered with guys who Daryl Morey saw could play. It's just that he's been so busy trying to collect veterans veterans and number twos to stick with James Harden. I believe Daryl could rebuild a team. They wouldn't turn into the Knicks. I saw that. The Knicks are the Browns of basketball. No. The Rockets have never been that.
No. You got a smart guy who can. I mean, he's got to. If he's going to do this,
it's just going to be the same thing over and over. It's going to be the same thing. And with the Texans, with Bill O'Brien, it's going to be the same thing.
No,
nothing's going to be different. Well, and now you've added some shaky salary cap type stuff to the mix, which makes it harder for free agency. I mean, Whitney Merciless's contract. Well, he's done. Isn't he out after this year?
No,
it's not.
Oh no, they just extended him. What are you talking about? Whitney Merciless? After this year? No. What are you, nuts? Whitney Merciless. He's here for 17 more years.
Did you notice him last night?
No. Yes, I saw him. I saw him lined up on the line of scrimmage.
Who's gone first, Eric Gordon or Whitney Merciless?
Ooh, that's a... I think they're both 2023 guys.
Maybe they get inducted into each team's Hall of Fame at the same time.
Oh, that would be awesome. Houston, we're not doing anything, Hall of Fame?
Well,
Houston,
that's
what
you want to
call we're not going to show up on the stat sheet, Hall of Fame? Let's get underrated mess.
I swear to God, I didn't know 59 even played. He played 69 snaps.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I didn't see him.
Zero impact on the game. Zero. Zero. Zero pressures. Did he have a pressure? Yeah, no, he's here too. He can get. You can get out of it after 2021.
Oh, Whitney?
He'll be $3 million against the cap in 2021. Okay. Yeah, 2022, rather. So let's get underrated mess in here. What's up, underrated mess?
Good morning, fellas. So it's hard for me to watch these Astros struggle. I know this isn't the year. We probably have one more year to go all in, and then it's going to be another tough rebuild to kind of build this championship back up. But regardless, the Rockets, I only had to look at the score. Didn't even need to look at the box score to know that, you know, Harden didn't show up again. He looks like a bum. He is a bum. He has more energy when he hangs out with grown men that call themselves baby. And then the Texans, on the positive, Johnson looked decent, good footwork. He was hitting holes. He was seeing. He had vision. Other than that, Watson doesn't look like he's progressed at all, still holding the ball too long. The team looks the same, no pass rush. I'm not going to even say the secondary did well because they just ran the ball down our throat. So, I don't know. I know it's one game in a vacuum, but no Hopkins. It's not a surprise that none of the receivers couldn't get open. So it's going to be a long season, but this is what Houston has put all their money in. Morey needs to take responsibility, too, because he put this roster together. Regardless if they'll be the Knicks or not, they're going to struggle. Right? There's no way out of it. So go Houston sports. Appreciate it, fellas.
All right, buddy. So that's underrated mess. We got a full board. Let's get people in here. Anthony, what's up, Anthony?
All right, guys. So when people like your kids ask you, what is 2020? How do you sum 2020 up? So I'll just tell them, hey, let's take a professional basketball team who runs a weird scheme the entire year, all for that scheme to get blown up in their face by another team who only uses it for a day and a half, and they're better at that original team. 2020. Oh, let's take our best receiver and trade him away. Now, our best receiver on our actual team are two third-string running backs. Yeah, 2020. Oh, yeah, I got one more. Astros, when they finally reach the mountaintop, let the franchise quarterback get hurt on the very same day that the Astros win a championship. 2020 wrapped up, Houston sports team.
Well, yeah, but you did use a 2017 thing for 2020. You said, man, Deshaun Watson got hurt the same day the Astros win a World Series, 2020. Well, that was literally 2017. Well,
that's just Houston sports.
Yeah, that's Houston sports. Maybe he's saying every day is 2020?
Possibly.
And
I think we were introduced to this Anthony.
What is 2020 like? Yeah, okay, I get it. I get what he's saying now.
And we're introduced to this Anthony because he just became fed up with James Harden. Like, he called in and was like, look, this was after Game 7. I'm a James Harden guy, but dude just collapses. And that's when he started becoming a consistent caller. So
that's right.
It was another Houston Stars failure that got
Where's
him
that one girl who called and cussed everybody out, but not she didn't mean to. She just uses bad language.
When she was defending James and going at Russ when John wasn't here?
Yeah, when she was saying, James, I was in Arizona. I know James is a good guy. Where is she?
We haven't heard from her.
Then she said, Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau. Yeah. Where is John needs to meet her.
I knew. I do.
John needs to see
I need
her.
It. Where's Felton Flarnmouth?
I don't know.
I want her on the show. Let's go.
By the
Today's
way, Whitney
a perfect day for her.
According to Pro Football Focus, Whitney Mercilus is in for 33 pass rushes, zero pressures.
Zero pressures.
Two for JJ.
And you know what?
$20 million, too. Yeah, Jacob Martin, three in 12 snaps.
Why is Jacob Martin only getting 12 snaps?
One sack against Pro Bowler Mitchell Schwartz, by the way. And then Charles Omenihu, four. I actually thought Charles Omenihu, even when he was playing inside, showed with those long arms, showed some ability to jar some guys around. I actually am kind of starting to come around on Charles Omenihu. He actually is starting to grow on me a little bit, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Jacob Martin was your best pass rusher yesterday, and it wasn't close.
Let's get Jay in here. Hey, Jay.
You also had one sack.
What up, Jay?
It seems like people are on the fence with Deshaun Watson. Either they're not with him. If you check with your wrestling fan at home, he'll tell you the fence does this superstar shake up a couple weeks after WrestleMania where the three different brands, you know, get random picks of the stars. If the NFL did a superstar shake up with the Texans, the Chiefs, and the Ravens, and Deshaun ended up someplace else, would he be a former MVP or a current MVP or even in the conversation? I just need your opinion. My opinion is would be, I just would like your opinion on that. Thanks, guys.
He was in the conversation. He was one of the front runners last year going into the game against Baltimore. So Deshaun was already an MVP candidate in the middle of the season, and then he got rolled face-to-face. Like, Deshaun literally had his MVP ended because he played terribly.
That was the MVP showdown.
He played terribly.
Got his ass kicked.
He played. You can't put everything on OB. I mean, at some point, you got to go out and make plays. The same guy, when he makes plays in a game, is him, but then when he doesn't make plays, it's OB. Let's just be real about it. My thought is he needs to take that next step. He's definitely third out of Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes, but he's not a problem for the Texans. Does he hang on to it? Yeah. I didn't think he hung on to it too long yesterday. I thought it was a matter of they weren't blocking for him. The pass protection was not as good as I had hoped it would be this year. Zach Fulton was not good. Titus Howard was not good in pass protection yesterday. Not as good as he needs to be. So, I mean, I don't want to turn this into a Deshaun Watson thing, but I knew this would happen, though, because A, he's a quarterback, and B, once he got that paycheck, it's going to push people into more, what about Deshaun Watson? Well, Deshaun's got to play better, too. Yeah. Bill O'Brien's got to be better. Tim Kelly's got to have a better game plan. I think it's going to come down to, ultimately, what you're going to see is they had something that worked. I'm not saying that it was going to be easy to keep DeAndre Hopkins around. I'm just telling you that throwing other wide receivers, guys with names like Brandon Cooks, do you really think that four teams in 6 years is an accident? Why do all these good teams keep getting rid of them? Why is no one asking that? The Rams were a salary cap. Why are the Saints getting rid of them so quick? Why are the Patriots? I mean, Saints and Patriots. That's not a red flag to anyone. Rams are in cap hell. I get that. They couldn't wait to dump a salary, and they couldn't believe they found somebody to take it. So they said, it's great, salary dump. The Cardinals were in salary. They're like, we can't find anyone to take David Johnson.
You want to talk about it? You want to rehash his horrible moves this offseason? Is that what you want to do?
Losing your number one guy, it's going to take a while for this. This is what I don't think people realize. It's Deshaun, this has been his ultimate safety blanket. Every quarterback, Matt Stafford with Megatron, every quarterback who has a big-time number one, that guy becomes a safety blanket. And there is a – it takes time. Like, Matt Stafford's much better with Kenny Golladay now, like Marvin Jones. He's more comfortable throwing to different guys. It's going to take Deshaun a while for him to stop.
Well, and it was the Chiefs, and it was game one. So
well, but it was the Chiefs.
They're going to be better.
But their secondary
they're
going to
be better.
Good,
they're
though.
The second-best offense in the
their
league right now,
corners are not good,
that's
though.
All I'd say.
I've seen that this comment. Well, they're playing the Chiefs. The Chiefs' defense ain't great.
No, it's pretty good. It's gotten better. It's much better, especially off the edges. Frank Clark
lost a corner.
Yeah, no, they're. No,
but if you're paying who you're paying, how much you're paying him, you shouldn't be talking.
Well, we can't talk about how much Bill O'Brien pays people.
But if he's an elite quarterback, like he's being paid, and that's why you gave him the money, we shouldn't be talking about the Chiefs have a couple guys. This is not what you expect from an elite player. It's not.
And how about somebody catch the ball, too, by the way? 8 o'clock, ESPN, 97.5, 713-780-3776. You know what? He's got heart. And if you got to get your heart checked, where do you go?
Well, we all have heart. We all have a heart, at least. But what's your heart health look like? If it doesn't look good, you could have problems. And here's the problem. When, you have a check engine light for your car, so you know when to go into the shop, it gives you a warning in advance. Well, with your heart, when you know something is up, a lot of times it can be too late, or you're really, you really have a lot of stuff that needs to be done. If you just go and check out your heart at CoreMed, which they allow you to do with stress tests, echocardiograms, EKGs, they can do all three of those for you. You can find out what your heart health looks like. For many people, you have issues like an enlarged heart. That may be something that you've dealt with your whole life, but it's going to become a problem. And if you haven't diagnosed it, that's a real issue. A lot of times the young athletes who pass away in the middle of practice or performing, they have issues with enlarged hearts that it could be detected. You could take your kids in and get hereditary issues or abnormal things like that detected. You can also get detected for myocarditis, which is something that happens for many people after they've had COVID. Even asymptomatic COVID patients are finding that a percentage of them have myocarditis, which can be fatal if it's not detected or treated. It's not always the case, certainly, but it can happen. Make sure that you go check out your heart health with my friends over at CoreMed Solutions. They've made it so easy. Yes, they work with insurance companies, but you know what else they do? On staff, they have a pediatric and adult cardiologist so that he can order that echocardiogram for you. And then even if you don't have insurance, it's just $200. And that's a huge peace of mind. Your health is important. Make sure you go to CoreMedSolutions.com. They can even take their mobile units and go out to entire businesses and do an entire business. CoreMedSolutions.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.